And we're holding on Ches Amidei's six lines from the bottom, about two dots. Kibbutz Gayosis Zaka Meiser, reading Meiser, it's supposed to be, Parnas Simon. These are key words for several statements of Rabbi Yochanan that we're going to quote, most of them having to do with rain. So first, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Godol Yom HaGashamim Kiyam Kibbutz Gavius. A day when it rains is as great as the day when Hashem gathers together the Jewish people from Golos. Shenema, we have the pasuk, the Shuva Hashem es Shviseinu, Hashem return our captives, ka'afikim ba'negev, like afikim in the south. And what are afikim? They're in afikim elamotar. The word afikim refers to, so Rashi explains, ka'afikim cholim means like the beds of streams where water flows. So the word afikim specifically refers to rain. Shenema vayiro afike yom, as you have a pasuk in David Shira, where it says that the afike of the sea were revealed, which means the places where the water for the sea comes out of the ground. So we see that the word afik or afikim has to do with water. So therefore, afikim b'negev means like when it rains and there are streams of water in the negev. So we see that the pasuk is comparing Kibbutz Golias to that.
Why don't we say that Afikim also means wells? Why specifically rain?
Well, because we're saying, in other words, that in the Negev, generally speaking, it's dry over there. And then in the particularly the word Negev, I mean, means the specific area in Eretz Yisrael. More generally, the word Negev comes from a word meaning dryness. So you don't really have wells in that area. What you have is when it rains, then all of a sudden you have streams of water all over the place. So that's what we're saying. That Kibbutz Golias is going to be like the streams of water that come from rain when it rains in that area. So the association between rain and Kibbutz Golias, particularly.
But Yitzchak used to drill wells.
He was in Be'er Sheva, which is not quite the Negev yet. It's like on the border of the Negev.
In the Negev.
Okay, whatever. The point is that for the most part, where you have water over there is when it rains. So for the most part, when you have something unexpected like that, where you have water, which is what the pasuk is saying, like Kibbutz Golias is something that's going to be sudden and unexpected, like when it rains and you have water over there. The Amar of Yechanan, and also of Yechanan says, Godo Yemag Shamim, Shafiru Gayosis Poskisbai. Rain is so great that even armies stop moving around on it. Now, armies, I mean, even when there's no battle going on, they raid, they kidnap, they do other things. So a day when they're not out and about is a great thing. And a day of rain is so great that you have that. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Tlameha Rabe, the pasuk says, you, Hashem, quench the thirst of the furrows, when people have plowed the ground and now it rains on the furrows. Naches Gedudeha, you calm down, it's Gedudim. Gedudim means troops of soldiers, like God Gedudi Gudenu. So Naches, it causes them to calm down and stop moving around. So that's another advantage of a day of rain. Another thing Rabbi Yochanan says is rain stops only because of people who promise in public to give tzedakah and then they don't end up giving it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Nesiim beruach geshem oyin. There's clouds and there's rain. There's clouds and there's wind, but there's no rain. Ish mishalo b'matas shoker, a person who prides himself on a fourth gift. So in other words, the pasuk is telling us there's a causal relationship between those two things. What causes it that you have clouds and wind, so it looks like there's going to be rain, and then in the end there's no rain, is because there are people who are priding themselves on a false gift, meaning that they promise to give tzedakah, and they don't. So Rashi says it doesn't mean only in public. Rashi says the same thing would apply if they pledge it in private. The difference is, Rashi said the reason why we're mentioning in public is because that's usually how people do it. People usually make a big thing. Let's say they're going to make a big public mishabeirach or something, and then they don't follow through in it. But Rashi says the same thing actually would apply even if they did it privately. However, Marsha says maybe not necessarily. Maybe if they do it in private, then it's not so bad. But when they do it in public, then what they're doing is they're giving the aniyim false hopes. The aniyim are thinking, oh, this person is going to give now a generous amount of tzedakah, and in the end he doesn't follow through. So the result of that, therefore, is the same thing. You need a connected midah that you have clouds and wind, and everybody thinks there's rain coming, and then in the end no rain comes. Rashi says another explanation also is that ayin can refer to all three of them. Nisiyim v'ruach, the geshem ayin, there's no cloud, no wind, and no rain, because ish mishalo batasraka. But Amr Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan says another statement. Mai dechtiv aser to aser. What does the pasuk mean when it uses the double expression aser to aser? Taif, you should taif, or the double expression of giving maiser. It means aser b'shvil shetis asher. It means give maiser in order that you should become rich. So we're darshading. So Marsha says there's two possible ways. We can say that we're darshading the second to aser. There, even though it's with a sin, we're darshaning it as though it was a shin, which is a very common way that the Chachamim darshan. So therefore, it's aser, you give miser, to asher, so that become rich. Or the other possibility, Marsha says, is it means that you can still keep both of them with a sin. It means you'll give miser in order that in the future you'll be rich and you'll be able to give miser again, and you're going to keep on being able to give it again and again. Tosfos, in this connection, brings a famous story about this, where there was this guy who had a field who every year would produce 1,000 kor of grain, and every year, of course, he would give 100 kor from Meiser. Before he passes away, he tells his son to always be careful with that. The son, after he takes over the field, starts getting cheap about it. He starts thinking, why do I need to give a whole 100 kor? That's a huge amount. I'm going to give less. And so he starts every year giving less, and every year the field is producing less and less. So the first year he gives less, and the next year the field produces less. So now he thinks to himself, well, I've obviously, you know, my income is going down, I have to give less. And so it keeps on going like that, progressively worse and worse, until finally the field is only producing 100 kor instead of the original 1,000. And then his relatives hear about it, and they all come dressed in yomtov clothes, like they're coming for a party. So he says to them, well, you're coming for a party. Don't you realize how bad off I am? They tell him, listen, you know, up until now, you were the balabas and Hashem was the kohen. Now, it seems, you've been upgraded. You're now the kohen. You're only getting 1/10 of what you used to from the field. So we're coming to celebrate that you got upgraded. So he realized what they were getting at. So he pledged that from now on, he's going to give maaser properly. And it went back to producing the amount that it was supposed to before the 1,000 kor. So we see from that story, a real live example of this thing of aser to aser, that you won't lose out from giving miser, just the opposite, you'll become and remain rich from it. So the Gemara says in this connection, there is, by the way, a machloikas, the Ramah brings a machloikas, a poskim about this. We know for sure from the pasuk that it applies to miser of produce. Does it apply more generally to tzedakah? That I'm not with two opinions, whether it applies more generally to tzedakah or whether it's specific to meiser. And within that, if you say that it's specific to meiser, then you have other different achronim. For example, Rabbi Yaakov Emden and others talk about, does it apply also to meiser of money, meiser ksafim, or do we mean strictly that it applies to meiser of meiser of produce? Which isn't to say, in other words, that if a person gives tzedakah of the other kinds, that Hashem won't. We're not saying that Hashem won't make him rich for that, but we're saying the guarantee, and this that we're going to talk about in the Gemara, that you're even allowed to test Hashem on that, does that apply to other things outside of Meiser foes? Anyway, so the Gemara says, Ashkechei Rabbi Yochanan Leyunuka de Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan one time found Rish Lakish's son, who was actually, Rashi points out that the son was actually Rabbi Yochanan's nephew. Because Rish Lakish had married Rabbi Yochanan's sister. So this child now is Rabbi Yochanan's nephew. So he finds him, Amale, and he says to him, Emali Psukach, tell me the pasuk that you were just learning in Yeshiva. Amale, and the boy tells him, Aser to Aser. So Amale and the boy asks Rabbi Yochanan, so what does that pasuk actually mean? Oh, my Aser to Aser. Why is the pasuk using the double expression? Like we just said, it means, like Rabbi Yochanan himself had just said, give meiser in order that you'll become rich. By the way, Tosfos does point out over here that the Sifri does also mention that from this pasuk you have the concept of meiser ksafim. So that's one reason to say that this Aser, the Shloshah Kesasher, should apply to Maaseh Kesafim as well. But on the other hand, as I said, the Ramah brings different opinions about that. Anyway, Amalei, so the boy asks Rabbi Yechanan, Menolach, where do we know this from? Where do we know that it means that you'll become rich from Maaseh? The fact that the boy is asking Rabbi Yechanan so familiarly, Menolach, like, where do you know this? Because again, he's Rabbi Yechanan's nephew. He can talk to him like an uncle would talk, like a nephew would talk to an uncle. He doesn't have to talk to him with the high degree of derech eretz that you normally would if he wasn't related. So he asked him, Menolach, where do you know this from? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan tells him, no, Zil Nasi, go try it out, you'll see. Amalei, so the boy asked him, when we shorted an Asuya LaKadosh Baruch Hu, since when are you allowed to test Hashem? Doesn't the Pasuk say, don't test Hashem? In other words, you're not allowed to do mitzvah, you're not allowed to do that, I'm going to be doing this mitzvah on condition that Hashem, or in order that Hashem will give me such and such a reward, you're supposed to do. I'm going to ask Shaloi Lakabal Pras. So why should it be any different over here? Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan tells him, Hachi Amar Rabbi Hoshia, Chutz Mizu. This is what Rabbi Hoshia said, who was one of Rabbi Yechanan's own Rabbeim, except for this. Maaseh is an exception. You're allowed to test Hashem on it. And various Mepharshim give different law. Now we're going to bring a pasuk for it, but various Mepharshim give different logical reasons why that should be so. One of them is because, after all, you would think with Derech HaTeva, like we said before, you're going to give Maaseh. You're taking away from your own money. How is that going to make you richer? So therefore, Hashem says in this particular case, you're allowed to test Hashem and see that it works in order that you'll have more emunah and everything else and everything else that Hashem says. And there's various other reasons. The fact is that the Kohenim and Levim do need their Maaseh, and therefore Hashem is not concerned so much if you're doing it Shaloi L'Shma, because at least the Kohenim and Levim are getting what they need, and there are various other reasons. Anyway, Shenema, you have a Pasuk in Malachi, and we read it as part of the Haftorah on Shabbos Erev Pesach. Haviru es kol ha-maaser al-beis ha-otzer, bring all of the maaser into the storehouse. They had in the Bismikdash at that time, there were storehouses where people would bring all their truma and maaser, and then it would be distributed to the Kohenim and Levim from there. Vihi teref b'veisi, let there be food in my house. Teref is like teref nosan li-reyav, another such psukim. Uvchonuni no bazois amma Hashem tzvokas. And Hashem says, test me with this, says Hashem tzvokas. Im loy efdach lachem es arubes ha-shamayim, that surely I will open up the windows of Shemayim for you. Vahari kosi lochem bracha ad bli-dai, and I will pour out for you bracha until bli-dai. So I'm going to interject, by the way, my ad bli-dai. What is that phrase mean until there's no end. Omer Rami Bachoma, Omer Rav, it means ad she yivlu sifsei seichem miloy madai, until your lips wear out from saying dai. In other words, there's going to be so much you're not going to be able to keep on saying enough, and there's still going to be more. First of all, the Maharam Shif says on this, what it means is, why would he be saying die in the first place? Why would he be saying die to a bracha from Hashem? So he says, what it means is, like in the Haggadah, we list all the good things one after another that Hashem did for us, and we say on each one, if Hashem had only done that, dayenu, and then he did something else, and if he had only done that, dayenu, etc. So now it's the same kind of thing. There's going to be so much bracha that you're going to be wanting to say for each one, dayenu, it would have been enough to get this bracha, and now we're getting another one, and you're going to wear out your lips saying that because there's going to be an endless amount of good. And Mephoshim asked the question, how do your lips wear out from saying die? The letters die, the dalad you pronounce with your teeth against the back of your teeth, the yud you pronounce from the roof of your mouth, your lips don't get involved at all. So some of the Mephoshim say, because the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, when it quotes this verse from Rabbi Yechanan and from Rabbi Hoshia, actually quotes it that you're going to say dayenu brachas. Well, in that case, the bays of brachas, use the lips. Different explanation, they also say, is a cute explanation, is they say just the opposite. Because you're going to be saying die, you're not even going to be using your lips. So like your lips are going to wear out from disuse. You're not going to be using them because you're going to be using the other parts of your mouth to say die. And therefore, like your lips are going to remain unused. Anyway, the point is that we see from that pasuk that Hashem is saying, test me. So Rabbi Yechanan says to the child, to his nephew, that you see from that, you're allowed to test Hashem in when it comes to maaseh. The Ben Yoyada, by the way, explains, in other words, that the kid was, the kid really had two questions. Number one, how do we know that you're allowed, since when are you allowed to do mitzvahs on Manasseh Kabbal Pras? And number two, how do we know you're allowed to test Hashem? So once Rabbi Yechanan quotes in the Pasuk, from Malachi, then that really answers both of his questions. Because now we understand that you're allowed to test Hashem. Well, certainly, then it means that you're allowed to do that particular mitzvah, Amanas L'Kabal Pras. So, Amalei, so now the child says to Rabbi Yochanan, Ihabas Moti Hosam L'Hai Psukah, if I myself had reached that pasuk in Malachi, if I had learned that pasuk myself, Lo Yhabas Tzrichna Loch L'Hai Shaya Rabbach, then I wouldn't have needed you and your Rebbe of Hoshaya. In other words, it's such an obvious thing, I would have figured it out on my own, and I wouldn't have had to waste your time asking you the question. Another time, Rabbi Yochanan found the same child of Rish Lakish, the Yosef Omar, he was sitting and saying over a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, Ivelas Adam to Salif Dargai, the foolishness of a person makes his ways go wrong. So bad things happen to him. Baal Hashem Yizaf Libay, and then he gets angry at Hashem. He says, why did this happen to me? Instead of realizing to himself, this happened to me because I acted wrong. So Yosef Rabbi Yochanan became Masna. So Rabbi Yochanan was sitting over there and wondering about this. Omar, he says to himself, where do we have a source in Chumash for this concept? Is there anything in Ksuvim that is not already merumas in Chumash? Everything else in Torah, including Nevi'im and Ksuvim. After all, the Nevi'im are not able, or can't come up with new concepts on their own. Any concept in Torah that they record for us is something that's inherent already in Chamusha Chumash Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe. So where is there a source in Torah in Chumash for this concept that's expressed in that pasuk? Now, Maharsha explains that beforehand, Rabbi Yochanan had understood the pasuk to mean that when a person acts wrongly, eventually that leads him to also to doubting Hashem and questioning Hashem. So fine, that of course you have sources in Torah for. Einonim over Aveira elam ken nichnas beruach shtus, that a person does an Aveira only if he has a sense of foolishness and thinks that Hashem is not running things. But now, when the child was saying over the pasuk, now Rabbi Yochanan realized a new dimension of meaning in the pasuk, namely that what we said, that sometimes it happens, a person acts wrongly, and then when troubles come on him, then instead of blaming himself and saying it's because I did badly, instead he blames Hashem. So where do we find something in Chumash that says that? Amalei, so the child says to him, Otu ha milo revizi, you think there's no remez for that in Chumash? Of course there is. V'haksiv, you have in connection with the story with Yosef and his brothers, so you have the part of the story over there where Yosef put the money into their sacks, the money that they had paid for the food they bought, they put it into their sacks, and now on the way home, one of them opens up his bag. Rashi on the pasuk says it was Shimon. He was in jail, actually. Levi opens up his bag, finds a sack of money in there, and the pasuk says, Vayetze Libam, their hearts left them, like they were stunned. Vayechadu Ishel Ochiv, and they were afraid, one to each person. Each one is saying to the other one how worried and nervous they are. Lemur, and they're saying, Mazois Oselikim Lanu, what is this that Hashem did to us? So in other words, like, so to speak, they're blaming Hashem, even though the whole thing was caused by their bad behavior in selling Yosef in the first place. Which Maharsha says, I mean, by now, this is already after they had started realizing that they did wrong. A few psukim earlier, you have that, Avol Hashem and Manachnu were guilty because we didn't pay attention when Yosef was pleading with us. So they're already on the road to Tshuva. But nevertheless, the fact that they use this expression, Mazois Osa Elikim Lanu, amounts to that they're complaining, why did Hashem make this happen? Instead of, they should have realized that everything that's happening to them is Midah Keneged Midah for something they did to Yosef. And if they had realized that, they wouldn't have used this turn of phrase. So therefore, so you see, says the child, that this point from that that's explicit in the pasuk in Mishlei is implied in that pasuk in Bereishis. So the Gemara says, Dal Eine, Rabbi Yochanan lifted up his eyes, because Rabbi Yochanan, we know from other places in Shas, had very long eyelashes. So when he wanted to look closely at something, he would have to lift up his eyelashes. So he lifted up his eyelashes, v'chazabe, to look at the child. Preposterous, because he wanted to see. Rashi says the child was very sharp. He came up with an excellent answer. So Rabbi Yochanan wanted to see him. Al derech, like you have actually, v'hoyu einecha, royus es merecha. It's good to see the person that you learned Torah from. However, asya ime apikte, the child's mother came into the room and took him out of there. Omrele, she says to him, Tommy kame, come. Stay, come out of the room, don't be in front of him. So he doesn't do to you like what he did to your father. what happened? The child's father was Rish Lakish. You have the story in Bava Metzia over there of how Rabbi Yochanan made him a Baal Tshuva, where before he had been a Listim, a bandit. Anyway, and then you have the story in the Gemara, where at one point, many years later, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had a discussion about something in Torah, where each of them ended up taking wrongly what the other one had said, and the result was Rabbi Yochanan in particular was deeply offended by something that Rish Lakish had said, and the result was Rish Lakish became sick and eventually passed away because of Rabbi Yochanan's kveda. So now the mother is, and now this is after Rish Lakish had passed away. So the mother takes the child out. She says, I don't want to happen to you like happened to your father. In other words, you're going to end up saying something which Rabbi Yochanan might take the wrong way, and then you're going to be in trouble for offending a tzaddik like Rabbi Yochanan. So she took him out of there. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's another thing Rabbi Yochanan said. Again, we had a list of things we had before: kibbutz, gayosis, daka, meiser, parnas. But now we're up to the fifth one, parnas, the fifth statement of Rabbi Yochanan, where we had digressed to talk about the whole conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and his nephew. So the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, matar b'shvil yachid. When rain comes, it can be only for the sake of one person. You have, it actually gives an example. Let's say you have everybody else planted in time. Then you have, let's say, for example, one person planted later than everybody else, and so he needs rain at that time to water his seeds so that they'll start growing. So Hashem might send rain only on his behalf, just because, even though he's only one person, Hashem might send rain just because he personally needs it. Or we're going to have an example on Amud Beis. That even within the person's individual plots or areas in a person's field, Hashem might water them individually with rain. And Rashi gives another example. Let's say another example is that you have one yid living in a town of all goyim, and he needs rain, so the goyim don't have enough schus for the rain necessarily to come in because of them, but because of this one person, Hashem can send rain. On the other hand, says Rabbi Yochanan, parnasa b'shvil rabim. But parnasa, that there should be a lot of good in the world, that there should be a surplus of food, that requires the rabbin. That doesn't just happen because of one person. So if you have many people that need, that there should be a surplus, that there should be a seiva, then Hashem will do that for them if they have the schus. But if you have one person need that, so no, Hashem is not going to change the din that he made for the whole year. So you have, Hashem will bring rain for him on an individual level, so at least he's not worse off than everybody else. So you don't have, for example, everybody else's crops are growing and his are not. But not to make that his would be much better than everybody else, which would be parnasa. That's how Rashi understands the difference between Mutter and Parnasa. Marsha explains it a little bit differently, that the vort is Mutter is what's needed as a prerequisite for Parnasa. That comes B'derech HaTeva. So therefore it can come even for a Yochid. But Parnasa, for example, the parnasa that we're going to mention soon in the Gemara, things like the mon and the be'er shav miriam or whatever, which are mice and nisim, those you need the schus of rabbin for. So mata b'shvil yochid dichtiv yiftach Hashem l'chol etzay tzorei atoy. The pasuk says for yochid, Hashem will open up for you His good storehouse, losses matar atzach to give the rain for your land. So you see that for one individual, because the pasuk is phrased in the singular, for one individual Hashem will send rain. On the other hand, parnasa b'shvil rabim, but to have parnasa, to have, as Rashi says, a surplus, or as Marsha says, something that's derech nes, requires a schus of rabim. Dichtiv, hinni mamto lachem lachem, because the pasuk says, I will rain down for you, in plural, bread, which is the mon. So we see that something like that requires rabim. So the Gemara says, Maisi, I have a contradiction. You're telling me that parnasa requires the schos of rabim, but Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda Omer, shloisha parnasim tovim under the Israel, there were three good leaders that stood up and led the Jewish people in the Midbar, Elohim, Moshe, and Aaron, and Miriam, the gimel matonas tovis nitnim al yodam, there were three good gifts that Hashem gave the Jewish people in their schos, the Elohim, be'er v'onanumon, the well with water, the clouds that protected them and cleared away the snakes and scorpions and whatnot, and then told them which way to go, Uman and the Mon. So Be'er b'schus Miriam, the well came in the schus of Miriam, Amud Onan b'schus Aaron, the clouds were in the schus of Aaron, Mon b'schus Moshe, and the Mon in the schus of Moshe, So now what happened is, Mesa Miriam, when Miriam passed away, Nistalik Aber, then the will went away. Shenema, as we have in the Pasuk, but Thomas from Miriam, the Pasuk says in Chukas that Miriam passed away, Uchtib Basra, and the next Pasuk says, V'lohoya Mayim La'eda, that the congregation had no water, implying that all that time, they had water. So we see that it was in the Schus of Miriam. Now, what happened? But then afterwards, the well came back in the Schus of Moshe and Aaron. As we know, that the next thing was, Hashem told them to go and then speak to the rock, and it would produce water, and in the end, Moshe hid it. But it came back, the Be'er Shem Miriam came back in the schus of the two of them. So Marsha says, in that case, why did it go away in the first place? If the two of their schus is enough to have the well, then why did it have to disappear after Miriam passed away? And he says that was in order for that everybody should realize that it had been in her schus. Like this, if it still continued there uninterruptedly, nobody would realize that. So like this, it went away for a while after she passed away, and then it took the Kishos of Moshe and Aaron to bring it back. And there's also a vote they bring in the name of Shalach HaKadosh, that it's much easier when something already existed and then was taken away, it's much easier, you need much less Kishos to bring it back than you did to bring it in the first place. So therefore, that Moshe and Aaron could bring it back afterwards is of less importance than the fact that Miriam was able in her schus to have it come in the first place. Anyway, continues Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Mes Aaron is stalkwa anane covered. Then when Aaron passed away a few months after Miriam, so then the anane covered went away. As the Pasuk says, by Yishma Knani Melech Arod, the Pasuk says that the Knani, the king of Arod, where Rashi on the Pasuk mentions that it was actually Amalekim who disguised themselves as Knanim, so they heard and they came to attack the Jewish people. So as we learned in Rosh Hashanah about a month ago, Mashmua Shoma, what news, what did the Knani Melech Arod hear that made him think he could attack the Jewish people? Shoma Shemes Aaron, he heard that Aaron had passed away, because this pasuk is right after the description of Aaron passing away. So he heard that Aaron had passed away, Nistalka Anane covered, that the Anane covered had gone away. Ukasavur, so he thought, Nitna Lo Rishusli, Locha B'Yisrael, that now he has permission, Min HaShemayim, to fight the Jewish people. So we see that the Anane covered disappeared after Aaron passed away. And this is what the pasuk means when it says "Vayuru kol ha'ed ki gava Aaron," that it says the whole congregation saw that Aaron had passed away. Now the question is, what do you mean the whole congregation saw? Only Moshe and Aaron and Elazar were on the mountain over there when Aaron passed away. So the rest of them didn't actually see it. So therefore, Amar Abahu al tikri vayuru ela vayiru. Therefore, Rabbi Bohu says, don't read by Yuru, they saw, but Vayeru, and they were seen. Meaning, until now, the Jewish people are protected by the Anani HaKavod, so nobody can look in on them. But now, the Anani HaKavod disappeared, now everybody is able to see them. And so the Knani, Melech Arod, heard about that, and figured that now he's able to attack them. So in that case, then what does the key Gova Aaron mean? So Kididorish Resh Lakish. The key over there means, like the way Resh Lakish Darshan, the Amr Resh Lakish, Ki Meshamash Ba'arba Lashonis, the word Ki in Sukkim can be used for any of four main meanings. E, if, Dilma, perhaps, Ella, but, and Daha, because. So Rashi over here doesn't mention, in other places where this Gemara is brought, for example, we had in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi gave examples for each one of them, where we have Sukkim, where the word ki means e, if, for example, you have, chi somru manocha b'shana ashvi'is, if you say, what are we going to eat in the seventh year if we don't plant and plow, and Hashem says, I'll give you my bracha. You have Dilma, for example, when it says, if you say ki somru bilvavcha, you it might happen that you're going to say in your heart, the nations in Eretz Yisrael are so mighty, how am I going to conquer them? If, in that case, don't think that way. And Rashi on the Pasuk specifically says, it can't mean if over there, because what does that mean? If you say that, then you shouldn't be afraid, and if you don't say that, you should be afraid. No, it means perhaps you might say that, but don't think to say that because you shouldn't be afraid. Then you have Ella, however, for example, you have in Bayera, Vayomer Loi Kitzachot, when Sarah is denying that she had laughed at what the Malach had said, then Avraham, or Hashem, said to her, no, ki tzachok, rather you laugh. So that's an example of ki meaning Ella, rather, or but. And daha means because, which is how Resh Lakish is darshaning it over here. In other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk, we would say, by Yiru kol ha'eder ki gav Aaron. All the people had saw that Aaron passed away. where the that is sort of, Nashi explains, is kind of a sub-meaning of e, which means if. Because it, sometimes the word if, sometimes the word im in the pasuk itself, sometimes the word that word im itself means asher, namely that. So it means that Aaron passed away. But now we're darshaning instead that it's a cause. The whole congregation was seen, and the Ananiah covered went away, and now they're able to be seen by everybody, ki gava Aaron, because Aaron passed away, which is dahar. So we see that the Ananiah covered went away when Aaron passed away. Continues Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Chazru shneim b'schus Moshe. Now at this point, both things, the Ananiah Kavod and the Be'er Shel Miriam, all return in the schus of Moshe alone. Nes Moshe nistalku kulan. And then when Moshe passed away, then all three of those things, the Mon and the Be'er Shel Miriam and the clouds, all disappeared. Shenema, as you have a pasuk in Zechariah. Hashem describes how he says I cut off, I removed, I literally va'achid means I removed the three shepherds all in one month. Now, what three shepherds? The pastures, the three shepherds are the three where we have, there's a time in Jewish history when we find where there were three leaders together, and we don't really find that except in the Midbar we had Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. So we have to ask ourselves, what do you mean they all passed away in one month? The three of them passed away at different times of the year. So they weren't all. So this teaches us that each one, when they passed away, then the gift that was given in their schus went away. And then they were brought back in the schus of Moshe, and then they disappeared when Moshe passed away. Therefore, when Estalko Kulan v'Yerach Echad, and all of those things disappeared in one month when Moshe passed away. So we see, in other words, that all of them came back in the schus. So we see that all of them came back in the schus of Moshe. Now, one of these three things is Parnasa, because we're the Mon. So we see Alma Ashkechan Parnasa b'Shvil Yachid. So you see that Parnasa can come because of the schus of a Yachid. So what are you telling me before of Yechanan that Parnasa needs the schus of the Rabbim? And the answer is Shiny Moshe. It's different in Moshe Rabbeinu's case. Given to the Rabbim who boy, because it was needed for the Rabbim, to Rabbim dummy, then therefore it's considered like the Rabbim. So we're saying it was in his schus, but it's his schus on behalf of the whole Jewish people. Or there's a different girsa on the side over here that says, given to Alan Schusse, because he has powerful schus, Kirabim Dami, therefore he can be considered like a rabbin. So yes, he's a yachid, but you have, there's a yachid who can be considered like the rabbin because of his caliber. Okay. Since we're mentioning that pasuk, va'achid at shloisha saroyim b'yerachachod, the Gemara tells a story in that connection. Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chiya mivastanya. These three Amoraim used to regularly go and learn by Rava. Ki noch nafshe de Rava, then when Rava passed away, also the Kameh, the Papa, then they started going to the Papa's yeshiva. The Papa, after Rava passed away, Rav Shuda Goin describes in his Igeret that his yeshiva split up. Half of them were under a Papa, and then there was another yeshiva under Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, who was another one of Rava's senior Talmidim. So these three Talmidim that we're talking about over here, Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel Bar Idi, Rav Chima Vastanya, started going to the Papa's Beis Medrash. Kol Emes Dava Omelahu Shmaita, whenever a Papa would tell them a teaching in Torah, Beloy Hav Mestabralahu, and they didn't agree with the logic. They didn't hold of what he said. Have a meramzi ahadadi. They would make motions to each other. They would like be looking at each other, give each other a look, and whatever, like say as if like to say to each other without saying so many words. Look at what a pity, you know. Rava used to teach us so well and so clearly, and now look at what we have as your papa who's not doing such a good job. So the Papa was felt very bad about that. Akriyua b'chelmei. So they that night he was read in a dream of that this pasuk for achkedes shloishes haroyim that Hashem says I cut off the three shepherds. In other words, that he was being told in Hashemayim that these three chachamim are going to be punished for embarrassing him. So Lamacha, the next day, Kiyahu Mifter Iminei, when they were taking leave of him at the end of the day, Omalahu he tells them, Lezlu Rabbanan Bishlama, let the Rabbanan go in peace. Now, in other words, so what does that mean? Now, the Gemara tells us at the end of Brachas that when you say to somebody, Loich Bishalim, is what you tell a person, is what you tell a person after they passed away. When a person is alive, you say to them, Loich Lishalim. So according to the Gius that we have in front of us over here, it means that he's actually telling them, in other words, he's hinting to them that I was told, Menashemayim, that you're going to be punished because of the way you were acting in front of me and that you don't have very long to live. So he was warning them about that in effect. On the other hand, on the side of it, it mentions that the Ein Yaakov has a Gius that he told them, Lishlama, Leizlo Rabbanon Lishlama, to Adrabah. He wants to be mevatel that zera on them in Shemayim, and therefore he's telling them go lishalim, which means, in other words, you should continue living, but just in other words, so faker. Yeah, Hashem, he was hinting to them that in Shemayim there was a kitrug against you, but I'm asking for that kitrug to be bottled. Marsha also explains the vort word that he was telling them to go away from here. In other words, stop coming to my best medrash, go to a different one. Because this way, in other words, so the pasuk va'achid means I removed. So it could be, it could take place in the harshest possible way, in other words, that they're removed from the world, or it could take place in a gentler way, namely that they're removed from the base medrash. So he wanted that at least let it be niskayim like that. So he tells them, lezul rabbanan bishlama or lishlama, in other words, go away, go find a different base medrash to learn in, and that way you want it to be punished with the more severe punishment, min hashamayim. Another example the Gemara brings about one of the Chachamim who was offending another one. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi have a Shchiach Kameh de Rav Papa. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi also used to regularly come and learn Torah by Rav Papa. Now, the Pashtus, I guess, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi had not been. He wasn't comparing Rav Papa badly to Rava like the other three Chachamim, but nevertheless, have a Machshelei Tshuva. He was asking Rav Papa a lot of questions, so Rav Papa was having a very hard time with it. One day, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi saw that a papa was doing the filas apayim, and during the filas apayim, you don't just say the part that it says in the siddur to say. You're allowed to add your own filas and bakoshes at that time as well. Shamei de Omer, and he overheard Rav Papa saying, Rachmana l'tzlan b'kisufa de Shimi. Hashem, please save me from the embarrassment of Shimi, because I'm embarrassed all the time when he's coming up with good questions and I don't know the answer. So Rav Shimi realized that he had gone a little too far, kavalish sikusa, so he accepted on himself that from now on he's going to be quiet, but Tulei actually that he didn't ask him questions anymore. In other words, you know, of course, you have to ask questions, like a Baish and Lamed, like a Captain Malamed, but there was a point, in other words, where it seems that Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, or at least Rav Papa had felt, at least that Rav Shimi Ba'ashi is going too far with it, and therefore said Rav Shimi Ba'ashi realized that now he shouldn't do that anymore. If he's going to ask Rav Papa questions, it's going to be in private, where Rav Papa won't be embarrassed by it. Now, we said on Amud Aleph that Rav Yochanan had said that there's a difference between Motor and Parnasa, Motor b'shvil Yochid, Parnasa b'shvil Rabbi. So the Gemara says, v'af Rish Lakish sava Motor b'shvil Yochid. We see that not only Rav Yochanan says that, Rish Lakish also agrees that Hashem can send rain just because of one person who deserves it, even if everybody else around him doesn't deserve it or doesn't need it as much. The pasuk says, "Shalu Hashem Motor be'Eis Malkush." Ask Hashem for rain at the time of Malkush, which we said a few days ago that the Malkush is the late rain, the last or next to last rain of the season, Nisan time. Hashem Oisa Chazizim. Hashem makes clouds, Umatar Geshem Yitin Lahem, and he gives them showers of rain. Leish Esa Basada. For every person, Leish means for one person, Esa Basada, the grass in the field. So, Yoha Lakol, so you would, so in other words, the Navi is telling the Jewish people, in particular the context of the Pasuk, he's telling them how, when, he's telling them how, in particular, the Osid Lavo, you're gonna have, like the Pasuk, like a different Pasuk says, Vahoya Terem Yitrov Ani Ena, before you even have to daven for something, Hashem will already grant it. So he's telling, the Navi is telling them the same thing, that there's gonna come a time when Hashem is gonna be accepting your tefillahs very willingly, and so even, so as soon as you ask for rain, then Hashem will provide it. So Yochol Lakol, so you would think that maybe the Pasuk is saying that Hashem brings rain only if everybody needs it. No, Tamad Laimah La'ish. Therefore the Pasuk says for each person. V'tanya, and we learn in a Braisa. E La'ish, if it says, so it says for a person, Yochol Lachol Sadoisav, fine, you would think that means only if all of the person's fields need rain. How do we know that Hashem might bring rain even when only some of his fields need it? So here you have, in other words, there's a miut within a miut. he's one person who needs rain, who deserves rain. Nobody else deserves it or needs it. And even within him himself, not all of his fields need it, only some of them. How do we know that still Hashem will provide rain like that? Therefore, the pasuk mentions the word sada, the field. And is sada yochal lachol asada. Maybe that means only if the entire field needs rain. No, tamad lema asev. Therefore, the pasuk mentions grass. So for one individual with stalk of grass in the field, then it'll rain. So it'll rain on it. Tosfos says it can mean, in other words, that it'll rain only on that one stalk of grass. And the Gemara gives an example. He held it of Daniel Bakhtina, Havalei Hahi Ginsa. For example, Rav Daniel Bakhtina had a garden. Every day he would go and inspect the garden to see what it needs, which in fact you have a Gemara in Chulin where Shmuel advises that you should do exactly that. If you have a garden, if you have a plot of land, every day you should go and check it to see what it needs. It means Beruchnius also that the person needs to check their midas day by day and see where they're holding. But in other words, on a Gashmiistic level also, this way you can proactively take care of problems while they're still small before they become big. Anyway, so while Rav Daniel Bakhtina is going through his garden, Omar, he would say, Hom Meshra Boyamaya, this particular plot needs rain, Vahom Meshra Loy Boyamaya, and that particular plot does not. And then the rain would come and water Dafka the places that, the Mimboyle Maya, Dafka the places that needed water. So you see, in other words, that Hashem can do that. Hashem will do for a tzaddik, that Hashem will bring rain very, very narrowly focused only on the places that need it and not necessarily to everybody else. Which can also be, I mean, the verb can also be that you can have the other people, maybe the rain would actually be bad for them, it would destroy their crops or something, so therefore Hashem would particularly do it like that. In other words, if it was the kind of thing where he deserves rain and they don't, then fine, still Hashem might give rain indiscriminately, like we said the other day, Shamim is Bein LaTzadik and Bein LaRashayim. But let's say you have a case where they don't deserve to have their crops washed away, but this one person needs rain by himself, then Hashem will, so the Maharsha mentions this point, so then Hashem will make it rain only in the particular places where it's needed, and even in Reb Daniel's own field, for example, you could have, let's say that some parts of it were already well watered, and more rain would damage them, and that's why Hashem would make it rain in those particular places. Okay. My Hashem oisa chazizim, now in the pasuk from Zechariah that we quoted before, we said the expression Hashem makes chazizim. So what are chazizim? And we said chazizim are clouds, but what does that mean? Hashem makes clouds. Amar Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina, Malamet shekol tzadik v'tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisa lechazizim v'fnei atzmei. Means that for every tzadik in the world, Hashem creates a chaziz, an individual cloud, for the rain that he needs on an individual level. We just said that Hashem can bring rain for the individual tzaddik that needs it. So now we're saying that Hashem creates a particular cloud for each tzaddik for that purpose. Okay, the Gemara asks, my chazizim, what is the definition of chazizim? In other words, the usual, you have several words in Lashon Kodesh for cloud. The usual words are anonim or ovim. What particular clouds are called chazizim? In fact, there are some of them, Mephoshim, in various places in Tanakh, it uses this word chaziz, and there are some places where some of the Mephoshim explain that maybe chazizim can actually mean lightning bolts. But here, the Gemara is taking it. Here, I think all the Mephoshim in the Pasuk and Zechariah take it that chazizim does mean clouds. Anyway, so what kind of clouds are described as chazizim? Whenever you heard of perchas, it means clouds that float quickly, that move quickly. Like you have, sometimes you see in the sky, there are clouds that move very quickly. Those are the ones that are described in the Pasuk as chazizim. In fact, Rabbi Yechanan says, a sign that rain is about to fall is when you see perchas. So my purchas, so what's the definition? How do we understand what purchas are? Amar Papa, Iva Klisha Tute Iva Smichta. When you have a thin cloud underneath a thick cloud, in other words, that you have there's a thick cloud higher up in the sky, and then lower down in the sky, closer to us, there are thin clouds, which again are moving faster, then you know that's a sign that rain is going to be coming soon. So in this connection, Amar Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says, he was a way to tell when you see rain to have an idea how long it's going to last. Nihila mikami mitra, when you have a fine shower, a drizzle of rain before the main rain, osi mitra, then you should know it means the rain is going to be lasting for a long while. But Bosa Mitra, but if it's the other way around, first you have a heavy rain, and then you have a light shower, Posik Mitra, then it means the rain is soon going to be stopping. Mikamri Mitra, Osi Mitra, when you have the lighter rain that comes before the heavier rain, it means the rain is going to be lasting for a while. The Simonach, a way to remember that, is Mahulta. Think of how it is when you're sifting flour. First you have the fine flour comes out, then later on at the end you have the thicker parts come out. So the same way over here, you have the finer shower of rain, and then you have the finer drizzle of rain, and then you have the heavier rain. And Tosfos points out that in their own times they used to actually get the bran off before they even ground up the grain. But in the times of the Gemara, they didn't used to do that. So therefore, they would have to sift it and get the bran out as they're sifting, and the bran being larger would come out last. So therefore, that helps remind us the same thing when you have a drizzle followed by a heavy rain. On the other hand, Debosa Mitra, Posik Mitra, we said on the other hand, if there's a drizzle after a heavy rainfall, then it means Posik Mitra, it means the rain is going to be ending soon. The Simonach, the way to remember that, Chauya De'izin. Think of when goats defecate, you have first a larger amount comes out, then you have a tiny amount, and then it stops. So the same way here, you have a heavy shower of rain, and then a light drizzle, and then the rain stops. Going back to the matter of Perchos, the Gemara says, Ula Ikwal Babel. Ula one time visited Babel. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He used to travel back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel. Chaza Perchos, and he saw these Perchos. He saw these lighter clouds that are beneath the heavier clouds and moving fast, which we just said is a simon that rain is going to be coming. Amalahu, so he tells people, Panu Manoi, Ponu Monai, clear my things and bring them inside the Hashtu Osi Mitra, because it's going to be raining soon and I don't want my things to get wet. L'sof, like Osi Mitra, in the end, the rain didn't come. Omar, so Ula says, Kihechid Meshachri Bavloi, just as the people of Bavel lie, Hachi Meshachri Midjahu, so their rain lies. Now what does that mean? How is he accusing all the people of Bavel of lying? So Marashah explains, we had in the Gemara before, that we said that one reason why rain doesn't come is because people pledge tzedakah and they don't give it. So now Ula is saying you have the same problem. You have that problem here in Bavel, apparently. There are people who are pledging tzedakah and they're not giving it. Therefore, the same thing, we have clouds and we even have perchos, which are supposed to be a sign of rain, and then in the end, no rain comes. In fact, we learned a Gemara in Beitza a couple of months ago, where the Gemara said very critically about the rich people of Babel that they were going to wind up going into Gehenna because they don't give enough tzedakah. So that fits with what we're saying over here. They would pledge tzedakah, but then they wouldn't actually follow through. Since we're mentioning something that Ula was in Babel and criticized the people over there, so the Gemara brings something else like that also. Ula equal to Babel. Ula one time visited Babel. Chodim, Eloit, son of the Tamri, Bezuza. He saw that they were selling a whole basketful of dates for one zuz. In Babel, you have a lot of palm trees. So dates were very cheap and plentiful over there. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim says that's one reason why when Hashem was choosing a place where the Jewish people should have to go in Golos by the Churban Bayis Rishon, why did he pick Davka Babel? The Gemara mentions over there just that point, because you have so many date palms over there, therefore, and dates are very cheap and nourishing, therefore people will be able to live on very little money and be able to spend more time learning Torah rather than having to earn a living. Anyway, so he saw, so the same thing, Ula saw, that a whole basket full of dates is going for one zuz. Omar, so he says, Meloid Sanid Adruv Shabazuz, look at that, you have an entire basket full of honey, meaning honey from the dates, that's available for such a cheap price, a zuz, Ubavloi, like Aski Baraisa, and yet the people of Bavel are not occupying themselves with Torah enough. In other words, they have exactly that, they have something cheap and easily available and nourishing, which they could live off of, so they shouldn't be even having to work for a living very much, just enough to be able to buy that, to buy food like that. So why aren't they doing that? Why are so many people involved in earning a living rather than spending more time learning Torah? Belalia, that night, Siaruhu, the dates caused him trouble, caused him stomach trouble, because the Gemara also mentioned that another property of dates is they make a person, they loosen a person's bowels. Omar, so now he thinks differently. Meloit Sana, the Sakina Bezuzah. Look at that. A whole basket full of knives is available for a zuz. In other words, this food is like knives. It's not so good for your body. And yet I'm surprised that the people of Babel are learning Torah. So in other words, he realized that after all, they're doing the best with what they have. It's true, they have dates available, but a person can't live only on dates, and therefore it's only right that they are, in fact, occupied with earning parnasa rather than learning Torah full-time. Marshall also mentions over there in Pesachim the possibility that at least one of these that one or another of these statements of Ullah might have been a rhetorical question. How could it be that with all of this, the people of Babel are not learning Torah? And or how could it be that even with this dangerous food, the Babylonians are learning Torah? Anyway, so whatever the case, we see that Ullah realized afterwards that the people of Babel are doing as best as they could. Okay. Now, let's talk some more about rain. Where does rain come from? Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kola Olam Kula Minei Ukiyonos Hushoise. The entire world drinks water from the water of the Ukiyonos. Ukiyonos is the ocean. It's the same word, in fact, though the Greek word for the ocean is Ukiyonos, and in English it comes across as ocean. So in other words, you have water evaporates from the ocean, and that produces rain. So Rabbi Yeshua says, what do you mean? The water of the Ukiyonos is salty. So we wouldn't be able to drink it. You wouldn't be able to grow crops with that, etc. Omaloi, said Rabbi Eliezer tells him, mimafkin or mismafkin ba'ovin. They become sweetened in the clouds. In other words, what happens when the water evaporates from the ocean, the water evaporates, the salt stays behind. So therefore, in the clouds, it's pure water, and when it rains, then it rains pure water. On the other hand, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua, the entire world drinks water from the water that's up in Shemayim. Shenema, the Mitara Shemayim, Tishkamoyim, as the Pasuk describes, Eretz Yisrael, that from the rain of the heavens it drinks water. So we see, says Rabbi Yeshua, that the primary source of rain is from the water that's in Shemayim, the Mayim Helyoyim. The Elamani Makayim, the Eid Yalam in Aretz. So Rabbi Yeshua said, sorry, you know what, I skipped a line in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer said, because the Pasuk says, a vapor came up from the earth, and watered the entire world. So you see, in other words, that rain comes from water vapor that goes up. And we said, they're salty, they get sweetened in the cloud. Rabbi Yeshua, it drinks from the water of the heavens. So Rabbi Yeshua says, so what am I doing with Rabbi Eliezer's pasuk where we say a vapor comes up from the ground? This teaches us that the clouds become large and big. They go up to the heavens. They open up their mouths like a skin bag, like you fill with water or wine or whatever. And they receive the water that comes to them from Shemayim. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the clouds themselves are not the source of the water. The clouds are the filter through which the water, through which the rain comes to us. As the pasuk says, they produce rain for his aid. So again, we're saying the word aid means a vapor or a cloud. So in other words, the heavens produce yozoiku. They produce rain for Edoi, for his cloud. So we see that the clouds receive their rain from a higher level. And Rabbi Yeshua continues, when covers him kikvara, the clouds have holes in them like a sieve. And they go and filter and scatter the water onto the ground. You have a pasuk, chashrasmayim oveshchokim. The dripping of water from the clouds in shchokim, where shchokim is the name of one of the levels of Shemayim. So the word chashras, in other words, means to sprinkle. So they sprinkle water from the clouds of the heavens. And Rabbi Yeshua continues, between one drop and another that come out of the cloud, there's only a hair's breadth, and nevertheless, they still don't mix one with the other. You have a Gemara in Baba Basra, where Hashem explains to Eov that every drop of rain has its own path out of the cloud, because if two of them went together, then it would be too much, and it would flood the ground, and it would wash away the topsoil and whatever. So even though the drops are so close together, they don't mix together. L'lamdecha. So this teaches you should gadol yemag shamim kiyem shenivru bar shemayim va'aretz. That day when rain falls is as great as the day when heaven and earth were created. Rashi says this is refers to the following psukim that we're going to show as we did at the beginning of the Masech, to how we see that rainfall is as great as the day that Shemayim va'aretz were created by comparing some of the psukim. Marsha says it's referring back to what we just said, this whole process of the clouds getting rain from the Mayim ha'yonim and going and filtering it showering it and then sprinkling it on the ground is all as great as Ma'ase Bereishis. So Shenema, the pasuk says in Eov, Oisev Dolus Ad Ein Cheker, Hashem does great things that can't even be fathomed, that can't even be understood. Uchtiv Anosin Matar Ap Me'oret. The next pasuk continues that Hashem gives rain on the face of the earth. So we see in other words that the water of the Dolus Ad Ein Cheker, namely that Hashem gives rain. Uchtiv Lahalon. Then you have a different pasuk in Yeshaya. Halo Yadaita Im Lo Shamaita. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Elokei Olam Hashem. Hashem is the God of the world, and the pasuk finishes off in chekulus v'nasay. There's no fathoming his understanding. Nobody can ever possibly understand everything that Hashem knows. So we see, and the pasuk described earlier in the pasuk, it describes Hashem creating the world. So we see that ein cheker refers to Hashem creating the world, and therefore oisek donus ad ein cheker also refers to creating the world, and we're saying that that's as great as rain, and that rainfall is as great as that. Although you also have a pasuk that mentions that Hashem makes the mountains with his strength, Rashi says there's no reason to be gurdus that over here. That belongs back on that days when we were talking about how we know why we call rain gurdus gishamim, but it doesn't really belong over here, says Rashi. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kiman Ozla. Okay, so this is the machlokes then. So you have again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that rain comes from the oceans that evaporates and forms clouds, and then it rains from the clouds. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the clouds are basically intermediaries that receive the water from Mayim Elyonim and then sprinkle it on the ground. So the Gemara says, "Keman ozla hadetchiv mashka harim al Yosef." According to which one would the following pasuk fit better? That it says, "Mashka harim al Yosef." Hashem waters Hashem gives water to the mountains from his upper chambers. So Rabbi Yochanan says it means from the upper chambers of Hashem, meaning from the Mayim HaYonim. In other words, Rashi says, without Rabbi Yochanan telling us, we would think that it means, in other words, that the water that means, Me'al Yosef, would mean from the heights where Hashem is, Kaviyachol. So in other words, it would mean the water goes up to the heights, evaporates, like Rabbi Eliezer says, and then it falls as rain. But now Rabbi Yochanan is clarifying that it means that Hashem has his own, so to speak, upper chambers from which he sends down rain. Kiman, now who would that be like? To Rabbi Yeshua. Apparently that's only like Rabbi Yeshua. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, how do the upper chambers of Shemayim factor into it? The water evaporates and forms clouds, and it rains from the clouds. The answer is Rabbi Eliezer. How does Rabbi Eliezer answer that? He says, Kiven to Sauki Lahosam, fine, but since the water does go up there to the heavens, Mashkim Al Yosef Kori Lahu, and we can still call it that it comes down from Hashem's upper chambers. The ultimate source of it is from the water that evaporates, says Rabbi Eliezer, but once it goes up there, it can also be described as Mal Yosef. After all, the Eloi Temahachi, if you don't say like that, if you say that a pasuk will describe something as coming from the heavens only if it actually originates from the heavens, if you don't say that, what about in the Toichacha it says, Obak va'ofa min Hashemayim, it says that Hashem is going to punish you by sending down dust and dirt from the heavens, which we said previously on Daf Dalet, that it means, in other words, that there's going to be a rain enough to get the plants wet, but not enough to lay down the dust. Then you're going to have a wind, which is going to blow up the dust, and the dust is going to fall on the plants and make them rot. So we see the pasuk is describing the dust as min hashamayim. Now, if you're going to say that the pasuk describes something as min hashamayim only if it originates there, dust and dirt don't originate min hashamayim. They originate on earth and they get blown up by wind. Ella, obviously, you have to say kiven to madli lahosam. Since the wind lifts it up to there and then it falls from there, min hashamayim korile, then it can be called min hashamayim. Hochanami, the same thing over here. Kiven to sauki lahosam. Since the water goes up over there into the clouds, which are in shamayim, me'al yosef korile, then it can be called me'al yosef, even if it doesn't originate there. So you don't have to say, says Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have to say that Rabbi Yeshua, that the water originates in Mayim Oyonim. You can say it originates by evaporation from the Okeanos, from the ocean. But once it goes up there, then now it can be described as Mal Yosef, as the Pasuk says. Okay. The Gemara says, Kiman Ozva Hodr Amar Khanina. What about which one would it follow this that Rav Khanina says? The Pasuk says, Koines Kaneid Mehayam. Hashem gathers together the waters of the sea like a nade, like a wall, like a Kriyas Yamsuk. Nosin Ba'utsaras Tahomas. He puts the depths in the treasures. The depths of the water is like Tahomas Yahasiyumu are in Hashem's treasures. And that means, says Rav Chanina, mi goram lo'otsu et shi'is malubar, the treasuries also means people's treasuries, people's granaries, where they keep their grain. What causes that the treasuries, that the granaries should be full of grain? Tohoimus. It comes from the underground water. Now that seems to be Kibbutz. That seems to be according to Kibbutz. Because according to Kibbutz, the point is that the water comes from down here on earth and goes up and then forms rain, which is what produces the grain. So therefore, according to what Rav Chanina is saying fits better with what Rav Eliezer is saying, that the water ultimately comes from the earth. So Rabbi Yeshua, what would Rabbi Yeshua answer that? He would say, "Ahu b'briyasa shalolam." That's talking about when Hashem originally created the world. The whole world was covered with water, and Hashem brought the water into one place. So therefore, konis kaneid mehayom. It means that the pasuk is not describing an ongoing thing, like Rabbi Chanina said. It's describing a one-time thing that Hashem did. Konis kaneid mehayom. He gathered together the water in kaneid, like a wall. In other words, he made there were certain places where there's going to be water and other places not. And Nosin, but Otsaras Tahomas, and he put the underground water into treasuries where it has to stay there in the ocean and doesn't go past the sand that Hashem put as a border for them. So nothing to do, says Rabbi Yeshua, with how things are on an ongoing basis. We can say on an ongoing basis, what causes that the granaries are full of grain is when there's rain that comes from the Aliyosa, from the upper chambers in Shemayim, rather than the primary thing is evaporation from the earth. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, discussing this point about where rain comes from and various other things in that connection. And then we'll continue with the halachas about asking for rain and fasting for rain, etc. Shabbat shalom, everyone.